Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dave Leventhal is joining us this morning, senior Washington correspondent with Business Insider. Big day in Washington, Dave, as the president meets today with Justin Trudeau. What is on the line here? And normally this would be in person, but this summit is virtual. Does that make a difference?
I think that any time you have two world leaders coming together, the ability for them to meet each other, to have that exchange that you can only have, as we all know, in person, there's always a bit of a quality lost when you have to do it via Zoom or teleconference of whatever sort. That being said, there's still a ton of substance to be discussed. I mean, we have massive issues that need to be ironed out between the United States and Canada that are longstanding ones, such as trade, but also very acute ones and huge pain points, such as when the border is going to open up in full, something, of course, that is of deep, deep concern to Buffalo and other border towns all across the United States-Canada border, the biggest undefended border in the world.
Yeah, when you look at that discussion, it seems like it's almost kind of turned around, being flipped on its head, right? Because for the longest time, it was really Canada that was keeping that border closed to traffic, recreational traffic, because of the U.S. and the virus prevalence here. But now you look at Canada, they're vaccinating at a much lower rate. The U.S. vaccinating as many people in a day than Canada has, period, in total, and per capita. U.S. Much further along, closer to that herd immunity. And Canada might now be reaching out for the U.S.'s help.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that this is a very dynamic situation, and in a bad way, in a good way in certain regards, especially with the vaccination rates going up in the United States. But both countries have their issues when it comes to COVID. Both countries have their issues when it comes to the response. And the bottom line still remains that if you want to go to Canada, if you want to come from Canada to Buffalo or anywhere in the United States, it's darn near, you know, impossible or very difficult. So that's something that you can fully expect during this conference today, albeit a virtual one, is going to be front and center as to when border restrictions are going to be able to be eased. We don't have a firm answer to it as we speak right now. We might have a better answer at the end of today.
What is the relationship between these two countries going into this?
Well, pretty good, and probably better. I've talked to a number of people, especially in the business world, over the past week on this very topic. I think the kind of general consensus from big business in particular is that they're looking over the next couple of years for relationships to be strengthened between the United States and Canada. And Joe Biden, I think, is going to make a very strong pitch to Justin Trudeau and to Canada in general that he wants to strengthen ties, both in terms of trade and otherwise. So, I think if you're going to expect anything out of this meeting, too, that's going beyond COVID, there's going to be sort of an affirmation of the relationship between Canada and the United States.
Where do we stand now on the upcoming stimulus bill, these negotiations? It really seems like there is no more negotiation, and it's Democrats kind of acting on their own.
Yeah, this has never really been a negotiation. The Democrats have all the cards here. They don't need Republicans. They can go forward using the legislative tools that they have at their disposal to get this thing going. Now, of course, they would love Republican support. They want to make this as bipartisan a bill as possible. There are probably going to be some Republicans, at least a handful, a few, who sign on to this bill in the House. But this is not quite on a rocket sled, but it's moving very quickly. And I think we can fully expect that the $1.9 trillion figure that's being thrown around so much, that this bill ultimately, at least on the House side, is going to land right around that number. And there's no reason for Democrats to depart from that, because they don't have to. Republicans just simply don't have the leverage in order to get them off that track.
Do you expect House votes this week on it? And after that, what's the timeline?
I think we're looking at right at the beginning of March, and that a final bill, once it goes through the entire legislative process, could be sometime within March. It's very difficult to predict exactly to a T when any of these things are ultimately going to come to fruition, particularly with a bill of this size with so many, literally just hundreds, thousands of different provisions in it, and still folks fighting over exactly what is going to be in it and what's not going to be in it. I think a big issue, for example, is, going forward is going to be what the minimum wage may factor into this, among other different provisions. So there are still battles to be fought, and at least in some camps, battles to be won or lost. But the overall bill is not going to be derailed because of any one particular issue.
How are Democrats looking at the state of Texas right now?
And I'm sorry, you cut up, Brian. Say that one more time.
How are Democrats looking at the state of Texas, especially considering everything that's gone on, not just with the catastrophe there, everyone losing power, but you look at something like Ted Cruz, who wasn't exactly totally secure in his election last time. Now with this huge misstep of going on vacation during it all, are they looking at the state of Texas as a real opportunity to grow support here over the next year?
Well, I think we've seen some early carrots and sticks as it relates to Texas and Democrats. For example, Ted Cruz, of course, has just been absolutely bludgeoned by Democrats for his decision to go to Cancun in Mexico in the midst of this crisis, which has affected quite literally millions and millions of Texans. We've also seen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a representative from New York City area, who has been raising money, millions of dollars, to help support Texans. So there's a bit of a charm offensive going on as well, in addition to all the bane being spewed at Ted Cruz. So if from a political standpoint, yes, absolutely. I think Democrats are going to use everything in their power to try to win that state over. They had high hopes in 2020 for winning Texas in the presidential race. They lost it and did so pretty spectacularly, too, at that. But 2022 and the midterms are coming about, and we'll have another presidential election. I know everyone's eyes roll in the back of their head coming in 2024, but it's never too early for any politician to be thinking ahead in that regard. And Democrats absolutely are going to have Texas on that list of states that they would, at minimum, like to turn purple, if not blue.
Hey, Dave, on Capitol Hill, confirmation hearing started yesterday for Merrick Garland for the nation's top prosecutor. Do you see anything sidelining this?
No, this is all but a done deal. He's going to still answer plenty of questions, and this is going to take a little bit of time, but no, this is not something that is going to really have any obstacles. There are definitely enough Republicans who will support him, and all the Democrats are behind him. That's different from, say, the OMB director position, where Neera Tanden, her nomination could very well go off the rails and be blocked because of just a lack of support. We have this every time we have a new president, but some nominations get through very easily. Others are much more controversial, and we're seeing that with Joe Biden as well.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much. That's Dave Leventhal, senior Washington correspondent for Business Insider, joining us live.